day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Having a real tourist come into town to guest host the Saturday special for the great one. Boy, you guys are in for it today. I'll be back in just a minute. Let's let the music play out. Steve Hartman with you until noontime.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Well, it's... Look at this. We've even got a new clock here in the studio. I think it's an atomic clock, too. It is 10:07. Saturday morning, this fine, whatever day. What's today? Is this the 11th or is this the 12th?
Today is the 12th.
Yeah, and you need to stay close to that microphone switch because I like to talk to my engineer. You know, you are, in essence, the real behind-the-scenes star of the program. Did you know that, Michael?
No, well, sort of.
Michael's a new guy, like me, and he's going to be fielding your incoming calls today. We're going to set up a few ground rules before we ever get started, so don't anybody call in yet. We're going to be talking about a variety of topics today because, hey, I'm a tourist. I want to know what's going on in the Monterey Bay. And so you're going to have to tell me. I'll ask the questions. You provide the answers. And so it'll be a little different today. If you are no on anything, in other words, if you are one of the cave people, cave citizens against virtually everything, then I want you folks to call in on the main line, 479-1080. Now, all of you folks that are for everything, what are you, would you be the fave people? No, you would be the fove people. The cove people, the citizens, I don't know what you'd be. You're just the yes folks. If you are for a transit occupancy tax in the city of Carmel, if you are for a hotel to replace the existing Santa Cruz Hotel, if you are for the train, you folks, I want you to call 477-1340. Why? Because it makes it easier on Michael, our new engineer. So the first thing he's going to ask you is, what is your position? If you call in on KSCO and you say, I'm for the hotel, he's going to drop you like a hot potato. You'll have to call in at 477-1340. You see how this all works? Well, I have been out of town now and relocated since, well, let's see, I left in October, but I did come back to town for a couple weeks over Christmas. I now live in the community of Lincoln, Montana. I got to tell you, folks, Santa Cruz is way, way, way overrated. For instance, you all, the first thing that comes to your minds in Montana in the wintertime is, oh, it's so cold up there. And the fact is that where I live, 0 degrees where I live is equivalent to about 40 degrees in the city of Santa Cruz. So when it's 30 degrees in Lincoln, it's short sleeve weather. I'm not kidding. Temperatures in different places affect people differently. Here the cold goes right through you. There it doesn't. It's 50 miles from Lincoln to Helena, the capital of the state of Montana. I left Saturday night at 9 o'clock, and during that 50 miles, I passed one car. In fact, I only saw one other car. I sent a letter into Don Miller this morning based on his editorial, and I told him, I said, you know what, I passed more cars between Denny's restaurant and the Water Street intersection. Then I did the entire trip from Lincoln to the Montana-Idaho border, a distance of approximately 290 miles. So you've got your traffic. Boy, have you got your traffic. And me, I'm living outside the fishbowl now, looking in. And I got to tell you, it's pretty funny. And at least we not forget that Steve Hartman has been telling you so for 20 years. And the reason you're in the predicament you're in now is because you didn't listen. Okay, the other topics today. If folks want to raise the transit occupancy tax in Carmel 2%. Evidently, they read Christopher Crone's editorial on the Santa Cruz Hotel where he says that all Santa Cruz has got to do is raise their transit occupancy tax 2%. And I'll make as much money, if not more, than what the city would get in parking with the new six-story hotel. Look, folks, if you raise the transit occupancy tax, you put Santa Cruz or Carmel out of reach of the next guy, and you lose revenue. It's pretty simple. And in the case of Santa Cruz, and probably in the case of Carmel, since the state is in such financial chaos, these communities only see taxes as a way of raising revenue. Carmel's a little different than Santa Cruz, but let's face it, Santa Cruz is in it for how much bureaucrats can take from the people whose lives are invested here who also have no control. Now, I want some call. Actually, what I'd like first, I would like a yes and a no caller for the city of Carmel transit occupancy tax. The reason is I want to get those folks across the bay involved in the discussion. Granted, what we're doing over here in the Santa Cruz area doesn't have a lot to do with Carmel. However, they're going to be able to learn from our mistakes for sure. But I want to include these people into the conversation. So if there are some Carmel callers out there that know precisely this issue as with regards to the pros and cons of the transient occupancy tax, I want you to give me a call now, okay? If you are against the transit occupancy tax, phone number for you to call in is 831-479-1080. If you are for the transit occupancy tax, the number to call is 831-477-1340. Okay, on to a bigger and better things. Well, first things first. As most of you locally know, Maynard Manson passed away this week. His memorial service starts today at 11 a.m., which is right in the middle of this program. So for those of you who will be attending those services, remember, you can pick up a rebroadcast of this program tonight from 10 p.m. to midnight. It will also be available for streaming anytime, I guess, after probably tomorrow, the next day, on the web at www.ksco.com. For those of you who want to contact me while I am far away in Montana, if you call my local phone number here in Santa Cruz, it rings in Montana, so you can get me there. If you want to email me, my email address is ksco radio@aol.com. Just put my name in the subject, otherwise I'll think you're spam and delete you before you've had a chance to rant or rave one way or the other. Okay, Coast Hotel, pros and cons. Man, it's been a long time since we've had an issue such as this. This one has really divided the community. We have the cannibalistic progressives eating each other up over this one. We even have some common sense people in town. Check that. Generally common sense thinking people in town, siding with the likes of Marty Wormhout, Celia Scott, Jane Weed, Christopher Crone. Have you guys lost it, or is there really something there? I need you to tell me. Because, I just don't know what's going on around here anymore. I'm just the lowly tourist. Another thing that we'll talk about today is the rail trail. Somebody explain to me how you can throw away $11 million to buy train tracks that you're not going to put a train on. I mean, this sounds like absolute absurdity to me. The other question I have is, if you buy these train tracks, what happens to Lone Star and the jobs up there? Because if you keep a train from coming down the tracks, you're going to kill coal, which burns the fires, to make cement at Lone Star. So, has there been any provision for that? Would Southern Pacific lease back? I don't know. Do you know? Does anybody know? These are some questions that, even though I go online and I read the local stories practically every day at SantaCruzSentinel.com, I don't think anyone has addressed that particular question. And having been a former employee up there and having a lot of friends who still work up there, I'd kind of like to know what happens to Lone Star if this train track proposal goes through. Okay, you, yes folks, 477-1340, you know folks, 479-1080. Another thing, but now this one, boy, this one just jacks my jaw. You know, I am a Santa Cruz High School graduate. That's probably rare around here now because so many young people have to move away because they can't afford to live here anymore. But when I went to Santa Cruz High School, this was back during the beginning of the Vietnam War, on Memorial Day every year, the entire school would assemble down on the athletic field, which, by the way, was appropriately named Memorial Field, in honor of all those young men, and I think strictly men at the time, who graduated from Santa Cruz High School, who gave their lives, sacrificed themselves for this country in World War I, in World War II. In fact, if you walk into the main entrance of Santa Cruz High School, up the steps from Walnut Street, you look to either side as you go in the door. I think to the right side as you go in the door. You will find a list of Santa Cruz High graduates who sacrificed their lives so that we could have this great country continue in its existence. And something happened, probably as soon as the progressives came to town and determined that the United States was nothing more than an imperialistic war machine, and their cancerous mindset started eating into the school system as well as into the bureaucracy throughout the county of Santa Cruz. That Memorial Day practice came to an end. So that, now the athletic field is just a token name that represents nothing, so to speak. And those lives of those former classmates that were sacrificed in World War I, World War II, then Vietnam, just sit there. I wonder if anyone explains any of these former classmates to new students as they come into Santa Cruz High. They certainly don't memorialize them on the field down below. And I would think that the United Veterans Council, you VFW posts, you disabled veterans posts, I would think that you would raise absolutely holy hell with the Santa Cruz City school system for being so negligent to those who sacrifice so much for this country. And to top it all off, good old Neil Coonerty has invited none other than Hanoi Jane Fonda to Bookshop Santa Cruz on the 19th of April, I believe. 19th of April? Well, I've got it here someplace. Where is it? Where is it? Fonda, Fonda, Fonda. It is going to be on... Well, I don't have it. I think it's the 19th of April. Anyway, I would love to see you thoughtful, real red-blooded Americans have a little effigy hanging party down at the town clock that day to let Ms. Fonda know that you don't welcome her into this community. Of course, you folks on the left, you can also be part of the effigy for her single-handed help in costing John Kerry the presidential election. Uh-oh, I got phone callers here. Now all I got to do is figure out how to get to them. Let me see. If I push this button right here, I might be able to talk to Daniel in Watsonville. Good morning. You are on KSCO. Is this Daniel in Watsonville?
Yes, it is.
Amen, brother. I got it right.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Good deal. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Anyway, getting back to Lone Star. Lone Star's history, it's been bought out.
Well, why would anyone buy it out if they didn't plan on continuing operations there?
Well, that's true. But that's all. That's basically all I know is as of, I believe it was the 1st of March, it's, I forget the name, it's some huge corporation bought Lone Star out.
So and does that mean that they might close Lone Star down and consolidate and cost us all those jobs that are up there?
I suppose that's a possibility.
Because that plant was brand new in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of the changeover up there, it's all computerized. It does not make sense to me that with all the free rock they've got and the free natural resources that they've got up there, mm-hmm. since they've been there so long, it's all paid for,
yeah.
that they would close that plant. The only way I could see it is if they couldn't get the fuel to operate, and since it is a coal-burning plant that needs rail car
transport
for that fuel, That does raise a real concern for me, and I'm surprised that no one's brought it up.
Yeah, I know. It's maybe they're going to start taxing them for a trainload of supplies, and that'll be the end of them.
Hmm. Well, what do you think of the rail line? Do you think Santa Cruz has lost its mind, or are you one of these Michael Posner bike riders who wants to have just $11 million purchase all for yourselves?
I think Santa Cruz has lost its mind.
How long have you lived in the area, Daniel?
I grew up here.
You grew up here. So yeah. You've thought they've lost their minds for a long time.
Quite some time now.
Any time limit in there?
As far as what?
As far as...
getting worse?
Yeah. Are you like me? Do you think since the progressives got the majority in 1981 that it has consistently gotten worse instead of better, or have there been some good years in there too?
I don't think there have been too many good years.
I think you're right. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Okay, folks, now I hit that button there, and I hit this button here, and I say, hello, Martin in Santa Cruz. You're on KSCO Radio at 1025. Steve Hartman here, guest hosting for The Great One, who, you know where The Great One is? He is at Point Richmond. I think he's going, what do they call it? Jet skiing today up there. It's a little chilly. I don't know if he's going to make it or not. He's taking a little vacation. He needs to relax a little bit. Just tune out all this craziness of Santa Cruz. Anyway, Martin, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mr. Hartman.
Good morning, sir.
When it comes to the city council, I'd be at Santa Cruz, Capitola. I'd have to be a no-no person. When it comes to the Board of Supervisors, I'd have to be a no-no person. It seems to me everything they put their hands on or touch turns usually to garbage. For instance,
and they probably tax you on that too, huh?
Absolutely. There was two good sand plants up here in Scotts Valley and Felton. They're both closed now. A lot of employees lost their job over that. So when the city and the county talk about tax base, I don't think they, really know what they're doing, because they run off a tax base there. They run off Lipton. They run off Wrigley's.
You know,
they give away the Holiday Inn. They give away $500,000 in, meter money down on Beach Street for special interest bicycles. I've been riding a bicycle in Santa Cruz County for, over 50 years now. I don't need a special lane to do it. It's just called use a little common sense and be safe when you're out there. My understanding with the rail lines, the Lone Star, if they lose the rail line, the coal will have to be trucked from the Bay Area south down Highway 1 through Half Moon Bay.
Just that what we need is more trucks.
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms. So like I say, anything that progressives have to do with, I don't want anything to do with it. It's not really about progress. It seems to me it's more regressive than anything, and none of it seems to make much sense to me.
Okay,
I'm a capitalist.
You know, hang on a second, Martin. This moment, I am looking at the Sunday, February 20th, 2005, opinion of one Christopher Crone, and the title of this opinion is Fight the Coast Hotel Plan. And in this drivel, Mr. Crone lists all of the wonderful things that the progressives have done for Santa Cruz. And here's where he starts. Santa Cruz progressives have been at the forefront of preserving, protecting, expanding an environmental agenda, and a pro-democracy one as well. Progressives have a long list of accomplishments. They defeated a wacky freeway idea down Mission Street, turned the misguided Wilder Ranch development plan into a state park, quashed the Zionte Dam proposal, turned back the Convention Center Hotel project on Lighthouse Field, redefined the original beach and south of Laurel plan, staved off the paving of the Poganip for an eastern access road into UCSC. Most recently, a hard-fought winning campaign was waged to stop the widening of Highway 1, and now we have their attempt to stop the hotel and six-level garage project. In every case, they have been on the no side of every argument. They have been on the we don't need to generate any revenue side of the argument. And the things that he does not mention is we are the pro-tax party. And if your life is invested in this community, to hell with you, we're going to tax your butts off. Because we have the UCSC student vote, which is why we can demand democracy in the community, because we control democracy through that student vote.
I'm curious, Steve, are these the same environmentalists that allow our natural forest to burn to the ground and literally tens of thousands of critters to die a devastating, horrible death by being burned alive?
Absolutely.
I've got nothing else to say. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Martin in Santa Cruz. Lines are open. If you're a yes person, I want you to give me a call at 479-1080. Yes on anything. I don't care what you're yes on. You could be yes on the new bill just signed by the governor of the state of Utah. What bill was that? I'm glad you asked. The governor just signed a new bill in the state of Idaho that gives illegal citizens, illegal almost citizens of the state of Idaho, a driving privilege card that cannot be used for identification. In fact, it says right on this card, for driving privileges only, not valid for identification. The card's got to be renewed annually, and it cannot be used for any identification within the state or the federal governments. And they are also repossessing driver's licenses already held by undocumented immigrants. Sounds like something that would work fine in this area, don't you think? If you want to comment on that, you may do so as well. You know, folks, all of you who are knowers, let's see, if you're knowers, you call in on 479-1080. If you're yesers, you call in on 477-1340. You know, I'm kind of surprised. I mean, everybody can't be going to Maynard Manson's memorial service. There's got to be some ears out here. And you know how it always works around here. You listen for an hour, then you try to call in. No one gets to go right on because there's so many people on hold. Sometimes you don't even get to get on the air at all. So let's make this an even full keel 2 hours here at 1032. My phone's ringing. My engineer is gone. I'm going to answer this one hot. Good morning. You are on KSCO Live. Who's this? Hello. Maybe I had to answer it first. I don't know. Where'd my engineer go? Michael, where you been?
Lots of phones are ringing here.
Lots of phones are ringing. Okay. Yesers, 477-1340. No folks, 479-1080. The no folks, you are the cave people. We are giving you the main KSCO line today. See, you should feel privileged that I would think so much of your opinion that I would give you the easy phone number to remember. You see? I'm good at that. So where are my phone callers if all those lines are ringing? Oh, you're still trying to clear up. Michael is trying to clear up whether it's a yeser or a knower. What else? You know what? I could talk about Montana for a little minute because I just love it up there. I love it up there. We have more white-tailed deer in Lincoln, Montana than we have people. Yes, we do. In fact, we have more of them out walking the streets. And you never see a Michael Posner type in Lincoln, Montana. You don't see bicycles. What you see is snowmobiles, four-wheelers, horses, four-wheel drive, lots of trucks in Montana. A lot of trucks. Another thing you should be aware of is this coming week, St. Patrick's Day, Rosemary Chalmers is going to have her one-year robbery anniversary party at the 1007 on St. Patrick's Day. Now, the 1007 also has a huge St. Patrick's Day event, a charity event. All the proceeds go to the United Veterans Council here in Santa Cruz. But Rosemary's going to be tending bar and holding her own party at the same time. So make of it as you will. As you will. That'll be on March 17th. Once again, Steve Hartman here until noontime. It's 10:34 past the hour. We probably missed the first break, so we'll take another one in about 6 minutes. And we will go to Pat in Santa Cruz, who wants to talk. Yeah, you see this? You give people the option of yes or no, and you always get somebody that doesn't want to answer either way. And let's talk about a bigger picture. Probably should let him call the KSEO comment line, but I don't have the number right now, so I'll just say, good morning, Pat, in Santa Cruz.
That's St. Patrick to you, pal.
St. Patrick, yeah, right. Well, you know, I was thinking about you. Actually, I was thinking about you when I talked about the one car that I passed between Lincoln and Helena. Boy, you would love it up there. You wouldn't have to worry about world growth at all, because there ain't none up there. There just ain't.
Well,
what's on your mind, Pat?
I wish that was the case. Montana's growing like crazy, I hate to say it.
Not where I live.
Well, I know people that have already moved there because they've been driven out of Santa Cruz, besides you.
Well, and, I wasn't driven out. I got to tell you, though, Pat, this is something I should have done 25 years ago.
Moved to a place with a small population?
No, well, I didn't move away from Santa Cruz because of population,
Pat. Hey, it's nice to be in a place with a small population. I agree.
Well, I didn't move away because of the population, Pat. My little double entendre there, population, Pat. I moved away because politics in this area is sheer stupidity, and it affects me to such an extent that I wanted to jump out of the fishbowl and look in from the outside.
Yeah, I understand that. But the thing here is that what we're really up against is population growth. When the local politicians aren't really serious about dealing with population growth, they're trying to get around it, but they aren't really dealing directly with it. And that goes for the liberals and the conservatives.
I disagree. I don't think it has to do with population growth near as much as it has with students from elsewhere voting against the will of the local people.
Well, look at it this way.
Whose lives are invested here.
Steve,
that's what it's been about since 1981, Pat. Something happens, it isn't going to change.
Steve, look at it this way. When you chose to move to a place that was not anti-growth, you could have moved to a big city that welcomes growth. You could have moved to Las Vegas. You could have moved to Phoenix. But I noticed you didn't do that.
Well,
and
the reason I did is because I already had a house that was paid for there.
You appreciate a place with a small population. I think that makes my case as well as I could.
No, it's not because I appreciated a small population. It's because I went to the U.S. Marshals Internet site, saw a house that was listed for $38,250 and bought it.
And why was that? Because the place has a small population.
No, it was because the U.S. Marshals took it away from a drug dealer and wanted to get rid of it.
All right. But nevertheless, the reason why property is cheap in Montana is because it has a small population. That's not going to last very long. And, of course, you realize this. Property values in Montana are growing rather quickly, aren't they? And that's because population growth makes it temporarily attractive to profiteer off it. But the ultimate end, where it's all heading, is overpopulation and the regulations that unsuccessfully try to contend with overpopulation, which you have witnessed in Santa Cruz. The real solution is to stop population growth itself and not try to work your way around it somehow.
Pat, why do we have population? What's the real reason we have population growth in Santa Cruz?
Because liberals and conservatives won't get serious about getting to the core problem, and that is people having too many kids and how to get that to stop.
Now, you see, that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I know it doesn't, but it's
I see the main reason for population growth in Santa Cruz is because of all the free services provided by bureaucrats at the expense of the people whose lives are invested here who have no power to change it.
And where is this overpopulation coming from into Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
Everywhere. Why? Because
but
Santa
Pat,
Cruz is a very
over, you'll find overpopulation in all of Metropolis throughout the United States. It doesn't matter where you look at Helena, you've got overpopulation. You look at Missoula,
case.
You've got overpopulation. The
case.
Reason being is because
there's too many people, they've had too many kids, and they're still doing it.
No, it's because bureaucrats want to move us into those areas so that they can take advantage of our lack of generosity in taxation and taxes anyway to provide for more programs. The more programs you have, the more people want to move into that area to suck up on them.
You know,
and as soon as everybody's in the cities,
Steve,
we will all be under the control of government bureaucracy.
Steve, taxes grow with populations. If you don't have a population problem, your taxes will be negligible.
But in Santa Cruz's case, population grew because of taxation.
I'm telling you, Steve. If
not
we,
the other way around. We didn't get the population first and then get the taxation.
No,
we got the taxation first to build up the programs to encourage a like mindset of takers to move into our community.
I am saying that in the big picture, people have too many kids, and it's really the people that have too many kids that should be taxed to discourage that irresponsible behavior.
Okay, well, Pat, let me just say this. Every time you come on, you take us off topic so that you can promote your population agenda. We will not be sidetracked today from the topics any further. We are going to talk about the Santa Cruz Hotel. We are going to talk about taxation, the transit occupancy tax in Carmel. We are going to talk about Jane Fonda or how to spur the economy in this community or whatever. And I have just been handed a note by my infamous engineer that we have some breaks that must be run this hour. So without further ado, I'm going to grab those nasty cigarettes, go out and puff on one while our wonderful sponsors attempt to showcase their products for you. So stay tuned. 10:42 right now. Michael, take it away.
We share this tiny planet with all sorts of creatures that wander its surface, creatures big and small. Some of the smallest, like bacteria, fungi, and yeast, can seriously affect our bodies. Here's pharmacist Benjamin Fuchs to explain how.
Funguses and yeast are sugar feeders. So right away you can tell that if you're eating a lot of sugar, you're eating a lot of refined carbohydrates, you're going to be feeding that fungus. Secondly, bacteria inside our intestines live in balance with fungus. And when bacteria are in balance with fungus, fungus can't overgrow. However, when bacteria levels drop, so-called good bacteria, then the fungus levels can rise. Bacteria and yeast live in the body in balance, and typically one doesn't overgrow over the other. However, when we drink chlorinated water, or we drink brominated water, or we eat preserved foods, we can kill off our intestinal bacteria. Also, by ingesting a lot of refined carbohydrates and sugars, we can have fungus overgrow, because fungus and yeast are sugar feeders. Both of these in combination can result in fungus overgrowing in the body. So the answer is to take yourself some acidophilus and probiotics to build up that intestinal flora. Fermented foods are a wonderful way to build up the intestinal flora. So all of these strategies can help us rebuild our natural bacteria so the fungus kind of falls in line, all without drugs. Feeding the natural bacteria is a much better way.
American Longevity's Ultimate Killer Biotic incorporates a blend of mushroom extracts, bovine colostrum, and bee propolis, collected by killer bees from the surrounding Brazilian jungle. They used it to keep the hive free of bacteria, yeasts, and molds. And at $32.50 wholesale, you can boost your immune system without draining your bank account. Give your body what it needs to maintain a healthy balance of intestinal flora with Ultimate Killer Biotic from American Longevity. To order or to pick up American Longevity products, call Scott or Jose at KSCO Radio, 831-475-1080. That's 831-475-1080.
Attention Santa Cruz Cardinal fans. Can't make it to Sacramento? Don't worry, KSCO has you covered. We're headed to Arco Arena in Sacramento. KSCO will broadcast the Northern California Division III state basketball playoffs via tape delay at 7 p.m. Saturday night. Kirsten Fairchild will bring you play-by-play, color provided by KC Jackson. This broadcast is brought to you by Friends of Pete, Dr. Biles DDS, Associates Finance Mortgage of Capitola, and KSCO. For you fans of Coast to Coast, we'll move that to KOMY. Don't miss our broadcast, and go Cardinals!
There'll be a
whole lot of shaking going on Wednesday when the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce turns up the 50s rock and roll sounds for the annual business fair from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Coconut Grove Ballroom. Roll up the pant legs, grease back the hair, and head for the boardwalk Wednesday afternoon for great food, friendly libations, and a whole lot of mixing with the Santa Cruz County businesses. That's Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 7 for the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce's annual business fair at the Coconut Grove Ballroom on the beach in Santa Cruz.
Hello, this is Tom Quinn, the host of Perspectives Radio Show. Every Saturday at noon, we give you cutting-edge news about current events. We interview well-known experts on a variety of issues, so listen in this Saturday from noon to 1 to Perspectives. Thank you.
Now, we take you back to the Saturday special with your host, Mr. Hartley.
That's Mr. Hartman.
Hartman, my mistake.
1046 here this Saturday morning here at AM 1080 KSCO. Steve Hartman filling in for Michael Zwirling, who is, let's just say Michael is vacationing today. I started thinking about a few things while I was outside getting my nicotine fix. Nicotine is very soothing when you're in Santa Cruz. I haven't tried, but I could probably quit smoking in Montana because there is no stress level, period. There's no stress there. Unlike here, where just getting up is a stressful situation. In fact, there in Montana, I sleep till 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, no problem. Here, 6 o'clock comes, my head's pounding, it's time to get up, and then I sit for 2 hours just going online, reading things like the Sentinel, the Helena Independent, the Missoulian, the New York Times, the Christian Science Monitor. Yeah, I still stay in touch. A couple of things that came to mind. One is that the only way local people are going to be able to regain control of their communities is to take away the extra money your city or county has. Now, the people in the county areas of Santa Cruz were smart. They got rid of the utility tax, and their lives are getting a lot better because the county doesn't have that monetary control over them anymore. Unlike the city of Santa Cruz, who has consistently gotten student support to keep that 7% utility tax continually coming in to the city to continually promote the leftist programs that put all these nonprofit progressives with money in their pockets and allow them to continue their activism against local life-invested citizens of this community. You have to take away the tax. My mistake, probably in running the last utility tax, was in making it all-encompassing. One of you, and let's face it, even with 38,000 registered voters in the community, you only need 5%. Which is 1/20. So what are you looking at? Under 1,500 signatures. Under 1,500? Yeah, about 50, somewhere under 2,000 signatures to get another utility tax repeal initiative on the ballot. What I would do is limit it to residential dwellings only. That would include houses, apartments, mobile homes. Let businesses go ahead and pay the utility tax because they're going to incorporate it into their cost of doing business anyway. But you need to start chipping away at the amount of extra money the city of Santa Cruz has, even if it is at the expense of city employees who are raking the money in anyway. For instance, how much money was paid for this new park down at the depot? You see these lush soccer fields. I guess you're going to have a skateboard park. You're going to have a lot of other stuff. But you are paying for it, and most of you will never do anything more than drive by it. No one has talked about the amount it's going to cost to maintain that park, the original cost of that park, and where is the revenue generation? Is it going to be in parking spaces? I don't think so. I mean, you folks have got a real serious problem here. Me, do I care whether the West Coast Santa Cruz Hotel gets a facelift? From the standpoint of the neighborhood, I don't give a damn. My property's on the east side. I never go to the west side for anything except to go to the dump. And I can certainly bypass Bay Street. The other way I look at it is, 99% of the city council members elected over the past 25 years have all been West Siders. The East Side has no representation. The only one we really got, two of them, Christopher Crone lived in Beach Flats, three of them. Christopher Crone lived in Beach Flats. He wasn't any good for my neighborhoods. He was a screwball as far as I was concerned. We did have our plumber, Mr. Hernandez, who at least paid attention to needs of the city of Santa Cruz. Then we had Key Sugar. So, I don't care. From the standpoint of revenue generation for this city, look, Don Lane, who is a supporter of the hotel, here's a guy who promised in 1988 that we were going to get a hotel and convention center. He and Jane Yokoyama and Mo Reisch and Marty Wormhout all were promising a hotel and convention center. What held it up? Two things. First, they hated Charlie Canfield and the Seaside Company. And they were going to attempt to extort property from the Seaside Company, the very property that the far side of the Ocean Street Bridge would have ended up on. This is the Ocean Street Bridge that we still don't have. Charles Canfield and the Seaside Company wanted to redo La Bahia. The only way the city was going to let him bring some new revenue into Santa Cruz was through extorting that property on 3rd Street next to the river. And it almost became a done deal, but a little thing called the earthquake of 1989 came along, and Charles Canfield said, hey, to hell with you people. Tore down his Casa del Rey, where he could, if he wanted to, build a hotel. I hear he doesn't want to. And it cost the city a huge, huge stream of revenue as the city in no way wanted to do business with Canfield if he had the upper hand. If I was doing this, I know that Charles Canfield has moved a lot of money out of Santa Cruz since the progressives came into control. In fact, in 1988, when I ran for city council, before we went to, the first year that we went to even-numbered years for city council elections, he said, look, we have to try and play ball with these progressives, and if we can't, we'll just move our money out. He ended up heavily investing in the San Diego area, and he wanted to expand here in Santa Cruz. The students rallied behind Sugar and Fitzmaurice and Sugar and Porter to keep the expansion of the boardwalk from ever happening, which cost the city more revenues, makes Santa Cruz a tired, old resort playground instead of a new and improved resort playground. So, that's hurt this community tremendously. And tourism, whether you like it or not, is the lifeblood of not only the city of Santa Cruz's economy, but the whole county's economy, as well as the entire Monterey Bay's economy. which is why the people in Carmel that are against the transit occupancy tax are screaming bloody murder. The more you tax the people coming in, the less people coming in you're going to have. It makes sense. If I was Charles Canfield, what I'd do first is attempt to help the Ohlone Indians become a recognized tribe. Then I'd sell them the boardwalk and all my beach flats holdings for, a couple $100 million. And since it's now native tribal lands, let them build a 20-story hotel convention center / casino down on Beach Street. And boy, would we have a party time in Santa Cruz Inn. And I was told I shouldn't bring this up, but as a single guy, I have to tell you, I would much rather see drugs and working women down at the beach than drugs and illegal aliens. It's just the way I feel about it. I am sorry about that. Let's see. Oh, look who's here. You know what? I've got to take 3 more minutes worth of breaks, and I've got Jan in San Lorenzo Valley. I'm going to take her phone call right quick, and then we'll get these breaks in, and if we run a little bit into the news, we'll do that. Jan in the San Lorenzo Valley. Good morning. Welcome to KSCO at 10:56 a.m.
Hi, Steve. So good to hear your voice. Our champion is back.
Not for long.
A great letter in the Sentinel on Sunday. I've got a clipping from San Lorenzo Valley Press, the paper up here, dated February 23rd, and it's from David Smith, who helps people who have problems with the planning department.
Yes.
Well, he says, have you ever had a problem with the county planning department? For the next 30 to 45 days, the California Department of Housing and Community Development would like to hear from the citizens of Santa Cruz County. All complaints concerning overregulation of land use, permits, code enforcement, red tags.
Jan, we're running up on the top of the hour here. What I want you to do, I'll give you two choices. You can either be placed on hold, and we'll continue with you first thing, or you can hang up, go do what you need to do, give me a call back at 5 minutes after 11, and I'll put your first up so you can get into this.
I'll hold on.
All right. In that case, folks, 10:57 a.m., we've got to run these few commercial breaks. I'll see you on the other side of the hour. This is AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. Mr. Mike.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track. I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Hello, my name is Bill Lambert, and I'm the owner-operator of Lambert & Son Moving, serving Santa Cruz and Monterey counties for local and long-distance moves. Lambert & Son Moving is a local, family-owned and operated mover. Let my family take care of your family's move. Call me at 831-420-0419 for a free, no-obligation estimate. Free use of our wardrobe boxes and all packing materials for your move. Senior and student discounts, best value in town. Reliable on-time service. I personally supervise all moves from start to finish. Our clients, family, neighbors, and new neighbors will be treated with the utmost respect and courtesy. I guarantee it. Residential and commercial moves. No job too small. License insured, bonded. California PUC T number 189973. Call Bill Lambert at 831-420-0419 for all your moving needs. That's Lambert & Son Moving.
You want diverse programming? Naomi Campbell,
yes,
says cocaine nearly ruined her. She credits her rehabilitation to discovering a medical substitution therapy involving pixie sticks.
Today, have you ever snorted some of that pixie dust?
I'm not going to answer that question, and although perhaps the purple crust under my nose is a giveaway.
We have diversity.
How would you like to earn $100,000 a year watching Dukes of Hazzard reruns?
Sure, I could do that.
The year-long position is open to any couch potato who knows the words to the show's theme song, Good Old Boys.
Oh, I could sing it.
Go on.
Just a good old boy.
Good morning, Monterey Bay.
Never meaning no harm.
Weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. on KSCO.
It's all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
It might be that you can't handle our diversity.
God, this is sad.
I know.
Thank you, KSCO. Merci beaucoup.
Join us Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m.
If you're in debt, living hand to mouth, tend to stress over finances, and are generally stuck in a rut, you should call this phone number and change your life starting right now. It will cost you 8.5 minutes of your time. 425-3090. 425-3090. Want to hear it again? 425-3090. Call it now. Get on the right track before you're old or dead. Do it now. Call 425-3090 and start your transformation into the new you, a happy, fulfilled person without money problems.
And now, 20 seconds of nice.
Santa Cruz, AM 1340, KOMY Watsonville, pot, 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 thank you very much, because we want to say bye-bye to that music. Anyway, I appreciate the break. Steve Hartman sitting in for the great one, Michael Zwirling, out enjoying the waters of San Francisco Bay, up at Point Richmond today, taking it easy. They sure jumped on me when I got back into town. I tell you, I haven't had a moment's rest since the boy got back in town. We were on the phone with Jan in Santa Rosa Valley, who wanted to give some planning information. We're going to go ahead and finish up her phone call right now, and then we'll talk about some other stuff. Let me see. Do I press it once or do I press it twice? Jan, are you on the air?
I am.
How about that?
Very good.
You know, KSCO has been really updating around here. They've got this brand new phone system in here. Everything's computerized.
Uh-huh.
I feel like a little piggy in heaven here. Anyway, what was, you wanted to get some planning information out.
Yeah,
the planning has also been a very sore subject among longtime locals, because they can never get anything done unless they do it themselves and illegally, for the most part, because the county is most set in its ways and having dictatorial control over everything.
Right.
So what have you got for us?
Well, I've got that we have a couple of weeks that we can let Sacramento know what's going on here. On this letter from Dave Smith, he said, don't let the county fool the state into believing our planning department is normal. So I've got an address that people can write to.
Okay, folks, grab your pens and papers, and if you're interested in this topic, make sure you get the address down. There might even be a phone number so you can call the governor's hotline. We don't know yet, but Jan, go ahead and throw it out there.
The person you write to is Don Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S. Now, he's in the Department of Housing and Community Development.
Yep.
Department of Housing and Community Development, Division of Housing Policy Development.
Yeah.
1800, third room, 430.
Third room?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, 1800, third room, what?
430.
430?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's Sacramento, California.
And the zip?
95814.
Okay.
And there's a telephone number.
Yes.
It's a 916 area code.
Yes.
445.
Yes.
4728.
4728.
Yeah, and they want to hear about any overregulation of land use permits, code enforcement, red tags, and that type of thing. And we have about 2 weeks left, folks, and that's it.
You know, you should pass this on to the whoever hosts the next program coming up here on AM 1080 KSEO at noon.
Okay.
Because this is more in line with their topics, and they, hey, get the word out as best you can.
I'm trying.
Okay. Thank you
all
a lot
right.
for the phone
Love
call.
Love having you on.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
10 minutes after 11 here on AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. Steve Hartman filling in for Michael Zwirling today. Our topics range from the tot tax in Carmel, for which we have had no callers whatsoever. Your thoughts on the Santa Cruz Hotel. Your thoughts on the rail trail. With no choo-choo. Jane Fonda coming to town to visit Neil Coonerty's bookstore. Illegal immigration and driver's license, I think I threw in there. You might want to comment on that as well. If you're against anything, give us a call at the main station number, 479-1080. If you are for anything, give us a call at 477-1340. It's easier to sort the callers out that way so I know what I'm running into, you see. Also, if you want to fax us, the fax number is 831-475-2967. Michael, are you on the – do you have the KSCO comment line? Because if you do, we should probably put that out there to our listening audience as well.
Yeah, I do have it actually right here if you'd like me to mention it.
Mention it. Mention it.
The KSCO comment line is 429-2222.
429-2222. Any comments you would like to make about programming or topics or anything else on your mind that you want to get to the ownership of this radio station? Give them a call and leave a message at 429-2222. They're always interested in what you have to say, and they listen every day. Every day! Also, how about them Santa Cruz Cardinals? I hear there's going to be a game on this evening. Are we broadcasting a game, Michael? Michael says, I'm busy talking on the telephone. Don't bug me right now. I believe there's going to be a rebroadcast of today's game at Arco Arena in Sacramento at 7 p.m. tonight. I further think it's on the big station, which would be KSCO. So check in about 7 o'clock tonight if you want to hear it. I don't know if we're going to tell you the score beforehand or not. We'll probably keep it quiet. You'll have to go someplace else to find out what happened. After all, if you know the outcome of the game, you may not want to listen, right? We're going to go back to the phones now. We've got Santa Cruz Mike calling from Scotts Valley, another guy that couldn't make up his mind whether he was a caveman or a yeser. We'll find out what he's got to say anyway, though. Good morning. You're on the air at 13
minutes
after 11.
Hey, Steve, welcome back in town.
Thank you, sir.
I guess the progressive didn't do a good enough job on you because you still got the courage to come back every now and then.
Well, I have to. You see... The reason I am back in, well, it's twofold. First, I am completely vacating my one-bedroom unit here to get it rented to someone for additional income.
Good thinking.
Because my place in Montana is paid for, and why live in Santa Cruz and leave my place in Montana empty when I'm so happy up there and I can live up there rent-free and rent this one out down here and allow other people to pay for all of the tax stupidity of the city government.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to be up your way soon.
No kidding.
Yeah, you know, I talked to you about that before a couple months ago. Well, you know, I was supposed to go work in China, but you know what? China is our enemy. And I'm not going to help them do squat to continue to put American companies out of business. Then it can disrupt our lives. So I'm moving up my plan. I'm moving out of Santa Cruz at the end of March. March 31st is my last day at this facility here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be making my little vacation visit. I'm going to be swinging up and checking out Bozeman, Montana.
Well, you know what, Mike? I must tell you that some American is going to take that job that was offered to you.
Let them have at it.
And it's kind of like what you're saying is kind of like conservatives here locally that would rather go down with the Titanic than reach for a lifesaver ring. In other words, they are so fixed in their mindset as to what's right and what's wrong that they would rather sacrifice everything than bend, which is why they continually lose elections in California.
Well, I don't know why they lose elections because it's kind of complex, but I know this. Our politicians have betrayed us. They have destroyed our economy by sending good jobs, allowing, encouraging, subsidizing good jobs to China, subsidizing good jobs to India. And the truth of the matter is the Chinese government and the Indian government have these very sophisticated, very encouraging levies and fees and tax exemptions, et cetera, that make it even better for American businesses to go over there. Our business owners and anyone involved in business over there knows that, but they do nothing. They talk about the American workforce being unproductive. We are the hardest working people in the world.
I would not make such a blanket statement myself, Mike.
I've been to India, Taiwan,
I think
China,
the
South
American
America.
Worker has gotten, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking generally, and particularly union people, I think have gotten lazy, more demanding, and certainly out of touch with reality. Remember,
you know why? Because now you can work your butt off, Steve, work for a company for 20 years, and then you're going to train a person to take your job in China or India. It's more a disillusionment and a dissatisfaction and a feeling of hopelessness more than it is laziness.
But why? Well.
I was like you. I thought we were getting lazy.
I don't believe that. I think that.
Look in Santa Cruz. What's happening in Santa
Cruz? Workers continually demand more and more and more and promise their support to those who will bring forth, those in bureaucracy, who will bring forth more regulation to continue to pay out to those who vote for them. And as a result, because we are supposed to be living in a capitalistic society, where price determines advantage.
It's never determined.
We have priced ourselves out of the market, and that's why these companies are going someplace else.
Well, that's not why they're going. You know why they're going other places? Because before, business owners in America, they thought America first. That was the number one thing. And they would find a way to build a business in America, to provide jobs in America, to be profitable in America. But this acceleration we're going over, it's just like these corrupt, we're seeing more and more corruption and disparity in the pay of CEOs. Why? Because they don't give a crap about anything but getting their millions of dollars, retiring them, and sticking it to everybody else. Now, as far as the union help, let's talk about union help. Who is the most unionized workforce in the world? It's federal, state, and government employees. It's not factories. It's not office complexes.
Who puts them in office?
Well, who do you vote for? Bush or Clinton? What's the difference?
Well,
you see what I'm saying? What is
look
the
at
difference
Santa
in their
Cruz.
Policies?
Look at, you want to point at Santa Cruz? Look at Santa Cruz. You've got the support of all the unions in the city of Santa Cruz voting for exactly those city council members they've gotten. You put those people together with the students at UCSC, the local folks are screwed. You look at the county government of Santa Cruz, you've got people there making $200,000 a year that will be retiring at $190,000 a year.
That's right. But you know why? Because the average citizen in Santa Cruz that can make a difference is not voting.
The average citizen in Santa Cruz doesn't have the power to do diddly squat because it is all predetermined by academia and the bureaucrats of this county who were put into power by academia.
So what do we do?
You've got to find some way to harness that student vote. That's what you've got to do.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I'm convinced, again, the average person is not concerned enough for whatever reason to be as – imagine this. Imagine if the average citizenry was as zealous and as aggressive as the homosexual advocates or as the activists, or if they were as aggressive.
But they aren't. You know, most of the consequential citizens of this community are working full-time. The only time they pay attention to politics – is at the last minute and when it's crucial to their pocket.
So I would say, you know what I would say?
Instead of, like the activists, who are continually monitoring what is going on in their community and how it affects them.
Right, because most people are happy in Santa Cruz. I think that's what it is. Like,
I don't agree with that at all. I don't think most people are happy in Santa Cruz. I think they look at the weather versus everything else, and they weigh the two together. And frankly, I think most of them are damn fools.
Well, I think there's some problems here, but you know what, Steve? It is interesting. I think most people are happy here. Like, even though, particularly now, you think if you own your house in Santa Cruz, this is the best place to own a house because it's going to go up in value every year faster than everywhere else in the world.
Well, that's until the interest rates rise.
Once you get that property, once you get your roots, you don't give a crap what happens. You want it to stay like it is, increasing property values. We're losing citizens. We want to continue to depopulation here. I mean, it couldn't be better. Once you get established here, once you have a job in the Silicon Valley, so you can get the good pay and everything, you got it made here.
Well,
it's just the young kids.
I think that's going to come to a screeching halt. Myself, I think that this may be a cream of the crop time for buying a house interest wise,
yeah.
But. You know, a year down the road, I think we're going to be looking at 7 or 8%. The price of housing is going to come down. There's going to be a lot of people stuck.
Well, that's a hard prediction. But you know what? I used to think like that, too. But here's something that changed my mind. I was sitting somewhere having a drink or something waiting to go eat. And I was sitting beside this real estate agent. And she had just sold a bunch of property and talked about how that it was all vacation rentals, that type of thing. And
yeah.
She was a little depressed, even though she made a small fortune, because the people who bought it doubled her vacation rent. She says, I was only charging like $3,000 a month. A week, and they're charging $6,000 a week, and are still booked. I says, I don't understand it, and she explained it to me, Steve. If you live in San Jose, Santa Clara, places like that, and you want to go somewhere for entertainment or fun or a weekend and get away from it all, there's only two places to go. You go north, you go south. We're always going to have this local tourism, these vacation rentals, these types of real estate arrangements where you can make a lot of money written out to vacation people, because there's nowhere else to go. It's built in. It's locked in. It's the same with people. I remember I've been here 10 years. You know who was buying all the houses on the harbor? People over the hill who couldn't afford to buy in San Jose when Santa Cruz was cheaper. So they bought here as an alternative.
Yep.
It's just built in that Santa Cruz is always going to do pretty good in spite of themselves, not because of themselves, but in spite of themselves, just because of the geography, the good weather, the beaches are pretty good, etc. And look at the alternative, San Jose. Now, that sucks over there. You've been over there. It stinks. It smells, etc. So, like, there's all kinds of things that keep Santa Cruz propped up and will keep it propped up for a long, long time. And look how hard San Jose has been hit. I mean, they lost, 200,000 jobs in the last few years? I mean, a declining population. It's not turning around over there at all. Look at the classified section. The classified section now is smaller than the classified section for jobs than the Santa Cruz paper and the San Jose Mercury News. That's pathetic. It used to be 30, 40 pages of jobs. So even though it's doing bad over there, there's still enough people doing well to keep the economy doing good in Santa Cruz as far as real estate, buying houses, the tourists coming over, et cetera.
Sounds to me like that if you believe all that, Mike, you shouldn't be moving away. You should be plopping it down right here. It's 23 minutes after 11 o'clock. Thanks for the phone call, Mike. 23 minutes after 11, we're going to take a short commercial break. Then we're going to come back. We're going to pick up Howard and Richard and continue on with the program. Mr. Mike, hit it.
In business services, whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, .NET has a solution to fit your needs. .NET offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. .NET understands that businesses rely on the internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call .NET today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. .NET.
Gibbs Tire Service in Freedom is right at the corner of value and convenience. Well, they're really at the corner of Airport and Freedom Boulevards. But for great prices on great tires like the Michelin Cross Terrain or Hydro Edge, plus quick service without the traffic jam, you'll love it at Lloyd's. For Michelin tires, brakes, and more, take Airport Boulevard off Highway 1 to Freedom Boulevard and Lloyd's Tire Service, your corner for value and convenience.
When you think quality, think Lloyd's Tire Service.
Attention Santa Cruz Cardinal fans. Can't make it to Sacramento? Don't worry, KSCO has you covered. We're headed to Arco Arena in Sacramento. KSCO will broadcast the Northern California Division III state basketball playoffs via tape delay at 7 p.m. Saturday night. Kirsten Fairchilds will bring you play-by-play, color provided by KC Jackson. This broadcast is brought to you by Friends of Pete, Dr. Biles DDS, Associates Finance Mortgage of Capitola, and KSCO. For you fans of Coast to Coast, we'll move that to KOMY. Don't miss our broadcast, and go Cardinals!
I think people want to have a conversation about money where they come away feeling stronger about their own financial possibilities to invest in the market and win. I also think that they want to have a conversation where they see clearly that they're really up to the task for stepping in and playing the market. Hi, I'm Noel Murphy. Join me for the Prosperity Hour with Donovan Lazar and Frank McHugh, investment experts, to really inspire you and educate you for what's next financially for you. That's the Prosperity Hour, Tuesdays between 1 and 2, right here on KSCO KOMY.
Hi, it's MZ. You know, being in the radio business here at KSCO, I got to tell you, there's never a dull moment. There's controversy, there's emotion, there's news, there's information. We discuss and bring to light issues. We have fun, we get silly, we get angry, but above all, we try to make a positive difference in the lives of our listeners. What I really want you to know about is one particular person who has made a truly positive difference in our lives here at KSCO. That would be Dennis, the owner and team captain of Day and Night Computer. We depend on computers for everything at KSCO. Dennis and his intimate family of high-tech professionals has made it possible for this station to grow and flourish as it never has before. Why? Because he and his crew are competent, attentive, fast, no-nonsense, and truly interested in solving your computer problems, whatever they are, right now and without ripping you off or making your job a career. Call Dennis at 465-7340 if you want a quick and clean fix to your computer-related problem and tell him MZ sent you. While you're at it, you'll probably make a new friend. Call Dennis at Day and Night Computer, 465-7340.
Here's the bad news. Credit card companies are charging up to 22% interest these days. Now the good news. If you're a homeowner, there's a good chance that you can save a lot of money on credit card debt with a tax-deductible mortgage loan, even if your credit rating is low. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. We would love to help you save money by consolidating credit card debt with a new home mortgage. Please call us at Pacific Inland today, 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
And now, back to the Saturday special with your host, Steve Hartman.
Thank you, Michael. 11:28 in the morning here at AM 1080 KSCO, AM 1340 KOMY. Steve Hartman with you. I'm a regular tourist in town. Anyway, I'm guest hosting for Michael Zwirling today. He heard I came into town and just jumped all over me because he wants to go ride the waves in Point Richmond. We've been talking about a whole hodgepodge full of things. It doesn't seem like there's too many people interested in any of these topics. Maybe it's because, for the most part, they've already been decided. I did talk with Leslie Cook, the head of the, well, she's the city clerk in the city of Santa Cruz yesterday. And she explained that there were three initiatives. Each of the initiatives did get, in fact, over 8,000 signatures apiece, and in case you're wondering, yes, there are letters from people who are asking their names be removed from those petitions, but she wouldn't say whether it was light, moderate, or heavy in the request bracket, and we're never going to know. We aren't going to know if the initiatives are found sufficient. Only the the proponents will tell us what's taking place if they are not found sufficient. I also talked with our new county clerk, the lovely and so beautiful Gail Pellerin, who, as much as I attempted to get her to take me to Hawaii instead of the husband and kids, she declined. Son of a gun, I thought I was going to get a free vacation. Anyway, I asked her department to do some numbers yesterday. I wanted to find out how many voters there were in the city of Santa Cruz who were 22 years old or younger. The majority of those naturally being, the vast majority of those naturally being from UCSC. There are a little over 6,000 registered voters 22 years of age or less in the city of Santa Cruz. Registered on campus, not by age, are a little over 4,000 registered voters. Now, if you look at the 6,000 figure, that's about, what, 1/7 of the total voters. The problem is that if you are voting against a mindset of 9-1, which is what the California Supreme Court came up with as an estimate of how students vote as compared to the of consequence citizens within a community like Santa Cruz, you would have to have, if they're voting 9-1 against something that you're for or for something you're against, and the rest of the community is voting at a 50-50 average, you've got to have practically a 70% turnout of people who are voting your way to make up for those who are voting 9-1 against you. That is what they call a voting block. That is what has killed the city of Santa Cruz since 1981 when the progressives first got the majority on the Santa Cruz City Council. And for every single issue that has gone the way of the progressives and against the people of Santa Cruz, you have academia and the campus voice dictating to these students who moved through here like little revolutionaries going to boot camp. Every single one of those issues is what's cost this community. Getting back to the utility tax for a minute, you know, you pay a utility tax on water. Christopher Chrome brags about killing the Ziani Dam, which would have brought water to the city and the county in this century. We still don't have a new water source, but as the newspaper said, you are going to see a doubling of water rates over the next 10 years, which means you're going to see a doubling of the utility tax on those water rates. I mean, folks, you're taking it in the shorts, and unless you're willing to put up a fight and stop it, it's just going to get worse. There is no reason why this community should be in the dire straits that it's in, and the only way you're going to save it is to cut the amount of money the city has to operate, and that's the only way you're going to be able to force them to your demands instead of being forced out by their demands. True story here. Anyway, let's get back to the phone lines now. Richard in Watsonville, an old friend of mine. You know, I have known Richard since he was 10 years old. So we're looking at over 40 years here, folks. And it's my pleasure to bring on Richard in Watsonville. Hello, Rich. How you doing?
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing fine, thank you. And by the way, you didn't move away. You just step to the side, didn't you? You still have your pad here.
I still own them, but I let other people pay the taxes in the city.
Right, right.
And then they in turn will also allow me my lifestyle from which I am becoming very accustomed to.
Yeah, who knows? You may stop smoking.
I might just do that.
Non-stressful, like you say it is.
But I've got, you know, I've got three fine places I hang out in Lincoln: the Wilderness, the Bootlegger, and Lampkins.
What about bed?
And they've all got bars, they've all got pool tables, and they've all got food.
And
I can walk to all three of them.
How long does it take you to get to the first one?
4 minutes.
Man, you're really close. So you're not out in the wilderness like I think you are.
I'm about 6 blocks from the furthest bar and 1 block to the National Forest. Life is not too tough.
Hey, you know that cement plant north of Santa Cruz?
Yes.
It was bought by Mexico.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's going to be called CEMEX. C-E-M-E-X. Instead of like Quikrete and all that other stuff, the names they got.
Here come the worker visas.
What do you mean, here they come? Someone in Utah just signed into legislation so they can have, the illegals can have a driver's license, right?
No. No, they get driver identification, they get driver privilege cards that are not to be used for any sort of identification. Not good for social services. Not good for identification at the airports. Not good for federal identification. The only thing they're good for is if you're behind the wheel of a car.
Driving to the airport. Driving to the...
That's right. But once they get to the airport and they ask them to show a driver's license to be able to get on the plane, it's a no way, Jose.
Can't get on.
Can't get on.
Well, another thing, you mentioned Jane Fonda.
Yes.
This United Veterans Council has done nothing. Nothing as far as I'm concerned. You know, Jane Fonda to me, Mike, or Steve, has done more for, actually, she helped stop that war in Vietnam. I was over there when Jane Fonda.
Well, like the North Vietnamese said, if it hadn't have been for Jane Fonda, Tom Hayden, and the rest of the anti-war effort, they would have lost that war.
They lost it.
They give them direct credit for winning the war against America.
Yeah, but you know, that's people like Rockin, Mike Rockin, you know? Jane Fonda.
Never heard of
him. Jane Fonda did apologize, but, like you said a little bit earlier, you know, about harnessing the student vote.
Yeah.
Rockin don't want the student vote now, does he?
Nope.
He's all for the Dream In.
Actually, I gotta stop you for a second and put something out here. Folks, you're looking at, what, another 8,000 students coming to UCSC?
Oh, that's just for the time being.
Over the next, 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that may save this community, assuming that students are still going to be voting here 15 years from now, is growth at UCSC. The reason I say that is because the increase in students, in all probability, is going to bring in a more moderate conservative mindset. It's going to bring in more engineering students, more computer science students. It's going to bring in more people, more young people who are looking at capitalistic America and making bucks. And if that politically correct voice at UCSC gets another 20% of students against it, so that real debate can take place on that campus, this community may rock again.
I would count more on Mike from Santa Cruz moving to China, wherever he's going. because Rockin has, you know, I don't know if you've heard Mrs. Z's promo where she's talking about where Rockin came in and swore he'd turn this into a socialist town, Santa Cruz and all this stuff.
Well,
you know?
He did, but he got brains somewhere along the line too, Rick.
No, he's getting his payback now in the form of Christopher Crum, man.
Yeah, well, there's...
I mean, there's, you know, it's like the student going against the teacher, huh?
I got to tell you, I have always seen Christopher Crone as a jaywalking idiot.
Oh, a bicycle
and,
riding idiot.
Yeah, well, he used to push his kids across the street on diagonal lines down there around Beach Flats, and I'm sorry. I've always seen Christopher Crone as a blithering idiot.
Well, he is. So is Rockin', though.
And I've also seen Ed Porter as a blithering idiot, too. So what can I say?
Yeah, so is Cynthia Matthews. You should have heard her a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I get riled at them, but at least the older, the long-time established progressives like Mike Rotkin, Cynthia Matthews, Scott Kennedy, these people understand that if they don't start bringing in some revenues, they're going to lose the whole works.
Wait a minute. What revenues have they brought in? What revenues are they proposing to bring in?
Who was it that coerced borders into place? Who was it that attempted?
Not Rockin'.
Sure it was. Who was it that attempted to get the expansion for the Seaside Company with the beach project? And who took it out? It was Fitzmaurice and Porter and Sugar, who were elected by the students to keep that expansion from happening after the city council had spent 4 years trying to bring forth what was needed to get the project off the ground. So they voted them out.
And what's going on now?
Well,
do you want that hotel up there on the cliff?
Like I said,
do you?
I don't care. I think that Beach Flats would be a better place for it.
Because
I don't care whether it's
that.
10 stories or 25 stories.
The
only place it's
going to
affect is down at the beach.
You're talking about where the old Casa del Rey was at, right?
You could take up that whole block as far as I'm concerned.
Right. I mean, but Cynthia Matthews got on the radio and said that Mr. Canfield doesn't want it, and so therefore we cannot have it.
And who can blame Mr. Canfield? He's been creamed by these progressives for 20 years.
Wait a minute. I brought up the fact of eminent domain. She says we can't use eminent domain.
Oh, that's great. So you have no problem taking the property away from Canfield. They've tried to blackmail him so many times and extort from him so many times, I wouldn't give him a damn thing.
And wait a minute. Look how many times they've taken away so much other stuff. You tell me one thing that the Visitors Bureau, the Chamber of Commerce does during the winter time to even fill up that hotel, the old Dream Inn.
Hey.
You tell me something that goes on in Santa Cruz.
You remember a guy by the name of Joe Flood?
They used to have...
Richard, stop talking over me. Give me a chance too.
Do I remember what?
Do you remember Joe Flood?
Joe Flood, no.
Joe Flood was the head of the old Visitors and Convention Bureau, started bringing hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars a year into the city of Santa Cruz and promoting the county. What happened? The progressives got greedy. They wanted all this money that Joe Flood was bringing in. So they trumped up charges against him, canned him, took over control of the Visitors and Convention program, and it has gone downhill since then. The city has to get their hands into everything in this community. They have to have direct control. They won't let business do a damn thing.
Right.
They even fought the tot tax 2 years ago.
Well, wait a minute. When was Joe Flood here?
In the 60s and early 70s.
Okay. That's when they cut off the 4th of July fireworks.
Actually, it was 70s and 80s.
When they cut off the 4th of July fireworks, that was the end of Santa Cruz, man. When they cut off clamming on the beach, that was the end of Santa Cruz. I can tell you a whole lot of ends to Santa Cruz.
Wow.
But there's a lot of ways to bring money back, and it ain't going to be investing it, the city investing it, in a hotel on a cliff that didn't used to be there.
You know,
I'd rather see
the way I'd look at it, you take those Seaview Court people and those that have been there over 30 years, you buy each one of them a house, the rest of them you buy them condominium apartments, and you level the whole thing and put the hotel back there, leave the cliff free. But we aren't in a position where we can do something like that. I mean, certainly they could buy everybody out there and give them nice places to live for $35 million. Let the hotel build its own damn place without putting any money into it. The fact is, we need
tourists.
We need tourists because they are our lifeblood.
And
if we can't get them any other way, And clearly we haven't been able to do that over the past 12 years. We got to have something. If this company's wanted to come in, I say do it.
What would you do to bring in tourists?
I don't know. Offer UCSC to Disneyland?
UCSC to Disneyland? Wouldn't that be fun? With a monorail, man.
Actually, if you go back to the 70s and think of the development and research park, I mean, this city could have had it all if they'd gone in partnership for that.
You know what I would do?
I gotta go, Rich. I'm up against the clock here.
One last thing.
Hurry quick.
I would put a NASCAR race in downtown Santa Cruz.
Yeah, well.
Let them drive the streets of Santa Cruz instead of going to Mexico City. See you later, Steve.
All righty. Bye-bye now. 11:45 here on AM 1080 KSCO, AM 1340 KOMY. We got Howard is waiting patiently. Oh, boy, he's been on the phone for almost a half an hour. We'll certainly get to him right after this commercial break. And, Mike, are you ready to take it away?
Park, the other white meat presents...
Did you know?
For quick kebabs, cut tenderloin into one-inch cubes and grill. For even quicker kebabs, take your neighbors when he's not looking.
Did you know?
Grilling is a low-fat method for preparing pork. Doing jumping jacks while grilling is an even lower-fat method for preparing pork.
Did you know?
Christopher Columbus introduced the new world to fresh pork. Now, if he'd only remembered to bring along the barbecue sauce. Pork, the other white meat, brought to you by America's pork producers.
We share the same hopes, the same dreams. We face the same challenges. That's why when it comes to helping you protect all you work for, nobody does it better than your neighborhood State Farm agent.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There'll be a whole lot of shaking going on Wednesday when the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce turns up the 50s rock and roll sounds for the annual business fair from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Coconut Grove Ballroom. Roll up the pant legs, grease back the hair, and head for the boardwalk Wednesday afternoon for great food, friendly libations, and a whole lot of mixing with the Santa Cruz County businesses. That's Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 7 for the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce's annual business fair at the Coconut Grove Ballroom on the beach in Santa Cruz.
It takes a lot of energy to sell your home, and I have energy to spare. Hello, my name is Heidi Theodore with Sherman & Boone Associates in Capitola. How much energy do I have? I've lived in Australia, Japan, England, New York, and now in Santa Cruz County. I founded the Core Leaders Children's Theater, and this year we're putting on 4 plays. I founded the County Daffodil Society, and we planted 360,000 daffodils. And I buy and sell real estate across the world. When it comes time to sell your home, list with someone who has energy to spare. That's me. I'm Heidi Theodore, and I have energy to sell your home. Call me 24/7 at 831-464-5093. I'm Heidi Theodore with Sherman & Boone, 464-5093, or HeidiTheodore.net. By the way, there's only one Heidi Theodore, and that's me.
Here's my morning routine. Alarm goes off, hit snooze at least once, force self out of bed, put coffee on, go outside, get the Sentinel, shower, dress, drink my coffee, and let the Sentinel tell me some stories about the world around me. I usually don't think about it a lot because it's just part of my daily routine. But with the way the world is today, I'm glad to have a touchstone like the Santa Cruz Sentinel. The happy and the heart-wrenching, the justice and the injustice, it's all in there. Stories, not just the news, but the stories that help me make sense of what's going on in the world, and most importantly, right here in Santa Cruz County. News is news, but a story can touch your life, and the Sentinel always seems to find an angle that brings the story home. The Santa Cruz Sentinel, your news, your stories, every day.
For what to see and not to see, check out the Santa Cruz Style Entertainment Guide every Thursday and movie reviews every Friday in the Santa Cruz Sentinel. Your news, your stories, and your entertainment guide.
And now, how to make your own talk radio station. First, get a radio station. Okay, this one will do. Next, surround yourself with people who talk. Then, and here's the tough part, make a difference. Air opinions.
I'll tell you what I think.
Shake up the town. Rattle cages. Take the hill, baby. Don't take no for answer. Stop at nothing to ferret out the truth. Question authority. Hit it between the eyes. And finally, give it a catchy name. Like this.
KSEO Santa Cruz. Red Eye News Talk. For the Central Coast.
And now, back to the Saturday special with your host, Steve Hartman.
Hi there once again, ladies and gentlemen. 11:49 here at AM 1080 KSCO. AM 1340 KOMY. We've got about 10 minutes left to the top of the hour. And my apologies to Howard, who waited on the phone for 27 minutes. The reason I took Richard first was he called in first. But, you know, I have been remiss. I have not taken you listeners to heart as I should. Howard, if you would like to call back in, I will take you right on the air for the rest of you. Well, it's getting close to the end of the hour. We'll make it open mic for any topic. 479-1080 is the call-in talk show number. 477-1340, the alternate number. That's too bad. I feel bad for Howard. Yes, I do. And I feel bad as a talk show host for getting so far out of hand. But what else have I got here? I wanted to say once again that if you want to contact me via email, kscoradio@aol.com. Put my name in the subject line. If you folks are serious, want to get a utility tax initiative for the city of Santa Cruz, I will draft it for you if you'll email me and send it back to you if you are willing to circulate it. Other than that, hey, folks, I live in Lincoln, Montana now. I don't care what you do. I don't care if the whole place goes broke because I'm outside the fishing bowl. I'm looking in. Don't you know? Well, we got a call from Monterey. Bill in Monterey, let's find out what you've got to say this morning at 51 minutes after 11. Bill, you're on the air.
That's Bitter Bill to you, Steve.
Bitter Bill.
Bitter Bill.
Mike, are you a Bitter Bill to swallow?
Mike gave me the moniker. He goes, you sound like you're always bitter. So that's my new name.
What did I do to Bitter Your Bill today, Bill?
You didn't do anything, Steve.
Okay.
But it was funny because when I first tuned on, I was came in on the show when Pat was talking. I thought it was pre-recorded.
Yeah, it sounds like the same thing over and over. It's been that way for 10 years, Bitter Bill.
Yeah. How is the weather in Montana right now, Steve?
I love it. It's right now it's running between 30 and 55 degrees. Santa Cruz terms, it's running about 25 to 50 degrees.
Any snow on the ground?
No, except for where the we had one snow where about a foot of snow fell in a day, and the tractors come out and push it all into piles. And but the everything is grass right now except for those piles, which are now pieces of ice that just sit there. They probably won't melt until about May.
Huh.
But it's gorgeous up there. It really is.
And that's in Lincoln. What's the town?
Lincoln.
Lincoln. That's what I...
You can find it on the map. It's on the Highway 200, 80 miles northeast of Missoula, 50 miles northwest of Helena, about 5 miles west of the Continental Divide.
Oh, 5 miles west of the Continental Divide.
Yeah, I think it's because we still get the warm ocean airs where I live.
Interesting.
We don't have mountains to block them.
Yeah.
And it's only after it goes over the Continental Divide, hits the snow, and drops down on the other side that things get really nasty. It's beautiful where I live. You know?
Interesting. I've been through Missoula, and I stopped in there. So you're just 50 miles northeast of there, huh?
Well, I'm 80 from Missoula. It's about an hour and 10 minutes.
Beautiful.
But no two-lane roads, 75-mile-an-hour speed limit, and no traffic.
What's the population in Lincoln, roughly?
In the wintertime, it's about 800. In the summertime, it's probably, I don't know, 3,000. Incidentally, Missoula was just named the 6th best place to live in the country.
No kidding. Huh.
Three rankings above Santa Cruz, California. But you can buy a place to live in Missoula for, well, if you don't mind a mobile home, but on your own property rather than in a park, you're probably looking at $100,000, $125,000.
I got to check it out again. It's been a long time since I went through Montana.
Now, the big cities, those metropolises that I was talking to Population Pat about, are becoming very politically correct. Lots of students in Missoula and Helena and Billings and Bozeman. But, you know, I think that's why people go to places like where I live. It's lack of government interference
yeah.
with your life.
Now, where do the working people have to go to get work usually? I mean, are they going, what kind of commute do they do? Do you know?
I don't know. I would assume, I know there's some people that drive into Helena to go to work. I would think fewer go to Missoula. Most people are pretty self-sufficient up there. They do construction, a little bit of logging, some mining, but nothing big.
How far are you from Glacier?
I don't know.
You never been there, huh?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
You gotta go.
Well, I don't have to go until I get really settled in, see?
Yeah. I got you.
I'm still trying to get cleared up here. You know, I got to get out of Santa Cruz all the way first.
Yeah.
I got to get my unit rented. Incidentally, I'm going to have a one bedroom for rent.
How much?
It'll probably be about $1,400, I think. Mm. It will include all utilities, including electricity. It also includes full Dish Network, all the premium channels.
How many square feet is it?
It will also include outgoing long distance, U.S. wide, and it will include DSL, so.
How many square feet is it?
I guess about 550.
Mm. Mm.
And, 10-minute walk to either the harbor or the boardwalk.
Yeah, yeah, well.
I gotta go. I got another phone call here I gotta take, but I appreciate the call. Bitter Bill?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Liz in Felton. Good day, darling, and welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to hear your voice again, Hartman, and I can see that despite the fact that everything is the same old thing around here pretty much, with people agitating but getting nowhere, you can still rouse the folks to respond.
But such a much more pleasant voice, don't you think? Can you tell that I'm happy, Liz?
I can tell that you're a lot more relaxed yesterday. And I wish you luck with it. I was going to say it sounded to me like Montana had climate change, but I guess you explained it in terms of the location of the little hamlet that you found.
Yeah, it's so much different there. Honestly, when I say 0 degrees in Lincoln, Montana is like 40 degrees in Santa Cruz, I'm speaking
I can
honest
hardly
truth.
Believe it, because 40 years ago when I was offered a job in Helena, people warned me, oh, man, your bones are going to freeze up there. So I never did take it.
Well, I appreciate the phone call, darling. Are you still feeding El Burro?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. I might get up your neck of the woods. I'll come knock on your door maybe one day.
Oh, great.
Before I leave. Thank you so much for the phone call.
Good luck in Montana.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Got a fax here. I thought you might like to know that there is no longer a real Population Pat. He took his life by lethal repetition over a year ago and left behind a tape recording machine, which automatically calls KSCO no matter what the subject is. As for Depot Park, don't forget that much of the money for the AstroTurf soccer fields was siphoned from funds originally dedicated for transportation projects and fire department maintenance. Well, in the real world, outside of Santa Cruz County, that would be called misuse of public funds, something like using rail funds to build a bike path. I guess we don't have any more time for phone calls. I think what we'll do is probably I'll point to Mr. Mike, who will give us the wrap-up music of Porky Pig and Company. Then I'll come back, say a quick word if I have time, and give you a local ID and say adios. Mr. Mike, have fun. It has been my pleasure to sit here in the guest chair for Michael Zwirling today. Thank you to the Verth Zwirling family for this, once again, this opportunity. You may hear me again before it's all over. This is AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. It's time for the news.
The manhunt for Brian Nichols has ended, the man accused of killing three people during his rape trial in Atlanta yesterday. Nichols escaped after allegedly overtaking a deputy, snatching her gun, and shooting her, injuring her, and then shooting and killing the judge, the court reporter, and a sheriff's deputy. He turned himself over today after taking a female hostage.
This ended the best way it could end, and there were no citizens hurt. None of our police officers were hurt on the surrender, and our SWAT team did.